Right. Council is ready. Good morning. I am Al Wall, the Administrative Law Judge pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to serve as the hearing officer for these hearings. These are the consolidated hearings of the applications of Otter Tail Power Company for a determination that continuation of the Big Stone 2 project is no longer prudent, case number PU-10-30, and for authority to use deferred accounting until its next rate case for costs incurred during its participation in the Big Stone 2 project, case number PU-09-739. Before proceeding with the consolidated hearing, I will ask the commissioners for comments and any directions for the hearing. Commission President Kevin Kramer.
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning, everybody. We obviously have a full hearing room today. Lots of interested parties, and we know also there are a lot of interested parties in Otter Tail and MDU country today, realizing that this morning's hearing is specific to the Otter Tail's filing. But I also would note, Your Honor, and you probably were going to bring this up, but we do have perhaps some members of the public as well that would want to have the opportunity to have some input, and we certainly want to accommodate that as well. But with that, just thank you to everyone, and we look forward to a thorough and fair hearing.
Commissioner Tony Clark.
Just good morning, welcome. Look forward to the hearing today.
Commissioner Brian Koch.
Good morning, and just also thank you for all the work that everyone's put into this to get to this point. I was not on the commission in the front end of this, if you will, but have also, you know, I've reviewed everything appropriate to get to this point. And I'm looking forward to everyone's testimony and all their thoughts, but there's, you know, I'll throw it out there. My general thing I'm really looking for is, you know, the law allows certain things, so we have to go through that procedure to see what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. But there's a second part of it, that the letter that Otter Tail sent, 19 January 2010, page 4, item 12, talks about, you know, basically 5 different areas that led the decision process, you know, changes in energy price forecasts, unprecedented financial market condition, risks the company was required to maybe increase their size of the plant, how that got to it, financial risk associated with federal climate change legislation, and the intent to regulate CO2 from the EPA. I'd just like to hear some more about that. As I don't know what kind of exactly you're talking about, but that area in particular, I'll be looking to hear what your thoughts are. And with that, that's all I have this time, Judge.
Thank you, Commissioners. The record will show that it is a little past 8:30 o'clock a.m., May 5, 2010. The time and the date noticed for the consolidated hearing of the applications of Otter Tail Power Company for a determination that continuation of the Big Stone 2 project is no longer prudent, case number PU-10-30, and for authority to use deferred accounting until its next rate case for costs incurred during its participation in the Big Stone 2 project, case number PU-09-739, all as I have previously recited and as is set forth in the notice of hearings for the cases dated March 10, 2010. The Commission's notice of hearings specified the following issues to be considered and determined upon the consolidated hearing. First, whether the continuation of the Big Stone 2 project is no longer prudent. And second, whether authorization for Otter Tail Power Company's use of deferred accounting until its next rate case for costs incurred during its participation in the Big Stone 2 project is in the public interest. Mr. Bring, will you please state your appearance for the record?
Your Honor and Commissioners, Mark Ring for Otter Tail Power Company.
Push the button. There you go. Now you're good.
Mr. Dwyer, you have a motion?
Yes. My name is Mike Dwyer. I serve as local counsel for an industrial group, and my motion is that Mr. Richard Savico be allowed to participate pro hoc in this proceeding.
The motion is granted. Do you have a further motion, Mr. Dwyer?
Yeah, I would make a motion that I be allowed to recuse myself and that Mr. Savico will be allowed to participate in the remaining of the proceedings.
The motion is granted. Welcome, Mr. Savico.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Broughton, will you state your appearance for the record, please?
Derek Broughton here on behalf of the Dakota Resource Council and Mark Treshock, interveners.
Ms. Bendish, will you state your appearance for the record, please?
Annette Bendish on behalf of Public Service Commission Advocacy Staff.
And Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco on behalf of Commission Advisory Staff.
And Ms. Bendish, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, are either of you have commission staff who will be participating for the hearing? If so, will you please identify them for the record?
With me at the table is Mike Diller, who will be presenting testimony today, and also with me at the table is Jerry Lean, who is available for questions, but I won't be tendering him for direct.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, nothing for you.
Nothing planned, anyway.
All right. Mr. Gerhardsen, you may proceed.
Your Honor, it's Mr. Bring.
I'm sorry.
It's not a problem at all. I understand the confusion. As a preliminary matter, perhaps I would indicate that we intend to provide a short PowerPoint opening statement. It is our intention to call only two witnesses, Mr. Tom Brouse, and we also have witness Mark Rolfus, and then we have two subject matter experts available, and we'd be happy to tender those folks for cross-examine if it's desired on the part of the commission or the parties. That would be Brian Draxton, the manager of resource planning for Otter Tail Power Company. And we also have available Terry Grauman, the environmental manager for Otter Tail Power Company. Following the two witnesses, I would have just a brief closing statement.
All right.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
You may.
By way of introduction, what we intend to cover in opening statement today includes a Big Stone 2 project overview and timeline, development activities that occurred with respect to Big Stone 2, the Otter Tail Power Company share of costs incurred in developing Big Stone 2, the thorough record that was developed before the Public Service Commission in connection with this matter, developments that warranted Otter Tail's September 11, 2009 withdrawal from the Big Stone 2 project, the policy objectives of the advanced determination of prudence statute and how we believe those objectives were achieved in this case, and finally, a settlement agreement that was filed with the Commission on April 23, 2010, by and between Otter Tail Power Company, the North Dakota Large Industrial Group, and the North Dakota Commission, North Dakota Public Service Commission's advocacy staff. The Big Stone 2 project over the course of its development was envisioned to be anywhere from a 500 to 630 megawatt supercritical pulverized coal plant. And this plant would have been located adjacent to the existing Big Stone plant near Big Stone City, South Dakota. Originally, the project included seven participants. However, in September of 2007, two of those original seven participants withdrew from the project, Great River Energy and Southern Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. The transmission configuration that was designed to integrate the Big Stone 2 generator onto the regional electrical grid was to be sized to accommodate up to 800 megawatts of additional wind energy generation that would be accommodated into the transmission grid in concert with the CapEx 2020 Group 1 projects that many regional utilities are presently developing. And of course, the major permits had been acquired for Big Stone 2, but there were several that were on appeal. Otter Tail initially began exploring a second unit at the Big Stone site as early as the mid-90s, but it was not until June of 2005 that project agreements were entered into by the first seven companies to participate in the project. By the summer of 2006, the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission had issued a site permit for the Big Stone 2 project. Development activities suffered a setback in the fall of 2007 when Great River Energy and Southern Minnesota Municipal Power Agency withdrew from the Big Stone 2 project. But notwithstanding their departure, development activities continued and additional participants were sought. And during the course of the next 2 years, all major permits were acquired. And as I said, a number of those permits were on appeal. And it was in the fall of September 2009 that Otter Tail chose to withdraw from the project. 2 months later, in November of 2009, the remaining participants chose to wind up the Big Stone 2 project. Development activities were many in connection with such a significant generation project as Big Stone 2, which included both generation and transmission aspects. There was the development of project agreements, a significant amount of project management, primarily by Otter Tail Power Company as lead developer. There were significant permit proceedings, and in almost every one of the major permits, there was significant opposition from environmentalist groups. There was engineering activity, and finally, there were efforts to recruit new participants following the departure of the two companies that I earlier referenced. Over the course of developing Big Stone 2, Otter Tail incurred costs of approximately $12.7 million. The North Dakota load ratio share of this sum is 40.32%, or approximately $5 million. With seven participants, Otter Tail had a 19.33% ownership cost share responsibility. Following the departure of Great River Energy and Southern Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, however, 27.16% of the project remained unallocated. Therefore, Otter Tail's cost share increased during this time to 26.54%. And if there were not additional participants added to the project, Otter Tail would have increased its ownership share in order to preserve the economics of the project as it was originally intended. As we know, Big Stone 2 struggled to secure additional participants. We believe primarily because those additional participants were concerned about the regulatory requirements that might be attendant upon their potential entry into the project. We believe that their concerns also resided in the significant amount of uncertainty related to energy and climate change legislation on a national level, and just this risk aversion to make such a significant capital expenditure on the eve of so many great uncertainties. There was, of course, a very thorough record that was developed before the Commission in connection with Otter Tail's request for an advanced determination of prudence. We had initially presented the case prior to GRE and SMMPA withdrawing from the project in the fall of 2007. Following the withdrawal of those companies, we regrouped and again presented the case in April hearings of 2008 as a 500 to 580 megawatt project with potential new participants. The proceedings culminated in an August 27, 2008 order finding an advanced determination of prudence for Otter Tail's proposed participation in Big Stone 2 in a range of 121.8 to 130 megawatts. Over the course of time, events tended to conspire against the Big Stone 2 project and ultimately led Otter Tail to withdraw in September of 2009. We saw significant changes to energy price forecasts that were likely to influence the resource need for Otter Tail. In addition, there were extraordinary financial market conditions on the eve of what was for Otter Tail to be a very extraordinary capital expenditure. There was an inability to secure new participants whose participation in any event was likely to add additional regulatory scrutiny to the project. And of course, there was also the potential increase in cost share responsibility and participation in the event that new partners were not found and that we needed to preserve the economics of the project as it was originally envisioned. It goes without saying that there has been and continues to be today a significant amount of federal legislative and regulatory uncertainty surrounding CO2 and other greenhouse gases. In addition, there was uncertainty regarding adequate and timely cost recovery for a very significant capital expenditure, and a great deal of permit appeal uncertainty and delay. I intend to address each of these subjects in turn. First, a discussion about changes to energy price forecasts. Otter Tail saw significant unanticipated changes to long-term forecasts for both on-peak and off-peak energy prices. In Otter Tail's view, these changes do not appear to be recessionary aberrations. To the contrary, these changes appear to be fundamental shifts in the energy marketplace. We are seeing MISO market efficiencies that have contributed to a reduction in capacity reserve requirements for utilities. We have also seen the addition of significant renewable generation to the regional grid, and this has applied downward pressure on wholesale prices in the marketplace. Specifically, energy price forecasts for the 2012 to 2024 timeframe are 33% to 36% lower than what had been forecast in spring of 2008, prior to Otter Tail's withdrawal from the project. These changes, in fact, are likely to impact Otter Tail's July 2010 integrated resource plan. Slide 10 depicts the decreases from the spring 2008 energy price forecast to the fall 2009 energy price forecast. First, in a chart format in the upper left-hand side, and then in a graphical format in the lower right-hand side. As you can see from the chart in the upper left, the fall 2009 forecast predicts a cost of energy on average 34% lower for the 2012 to 2024 timeframe than what had been predicted in the spring 2008 forecast. Again, in the lower right-hand corner of this slide, the changes are depicted in a graphical format. Slide 11 in the top graph depicts the fall, slide 11 in the top graph depicts the spring 2008 estimate of the all-in cost of a generic gas-wind hybrid generation resource with associated reliance on the market and a generic coal generation resource with associated reliance on the market. The bottom graph depicts the fall 2009 estimate of the all-in cost of a generic gas-wind hybrid generation resource with associated reliance on the market and a generic coal generation resource with associated reliance on the market. The estimated cost of capital for the generic coal resource had increased markedly in the fall 2009 forecast, while the cost of market reliance decreased in varying degrees for both resources. The fall 2009 all-in forecast for the generic coal resource surpasses the all-in cost forecast for the gas wind hybrid generation resource by 20%. And the newer forecast, along with the other issues that we have identified today, played a significant role in Otter Tail's decision to withdraw from the Big Stone 2 project. And of course, we were seeing extraordinary financial market conditions on the eve of what was, for Otter Tail, a very significant capital need. The project agreements required a September 2009 commitment to complete financing, to issue a contractor notice to proceed, and to construct. And at that time, financial market conditions were unprecedented. There was a broad economic downturn, and the issuance of debt and the ability to raise capital were far more difficult and costly in this environment. By way of example, the cost of borrowing at that time was likely to be 500 basis points over treasuries, so there were significant spreads at that point in time. In addition, I referenced the inability to secure additional participants because of concerns about permitting requirements and also the great uncertainties that reside in the failure of Washington to send clear direction on energy and climate change. With seven participants, Otter Tail had a 19.33% ownership cost share responsibility. This yields an estimated $400 million share of the construction cost for Big Stone 2. It's important to note that this figure does not include the Otter Tail cost for the Big Stone 1 joint scrubber investment, and that would also have been a significant additional capital outlay that would have been necessary. Following the departure of GRE and Southern Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, 27.16% of the project remained unallocated. Without new participants, Otter Tail's cost share responsibility went to 26.54%. And assuming that there were no opportunity to add new participants and to preserve the economics of the project, Otter Tail may have been required to expend capital of $550 million for a share of construction costs in order to preserve the economics of this generation resource scenario. To give you some feel for the magnitude of such an investment, Otter Tail's rate base in the 2008 North Dakota rate case was $630 million. There was and continues today, of course, to be a significant amount of federal legislative and regulatory uncertainty surrounding CO2 and other greenhouse gases. As the Commission is well aware, in 2007, the U.S. Supreme Court in the Massachusetts versus EPA case held that greenhouse gases are pollutants, air pollutants, under the existing Clean Air Act. Following a change in presidential administrations in 2009, the EPA on April 17, 2009, proposed finding that greenhouse gases emitted by new motor vehicles endanger public health. Shortly thereafter, in the summer of 2009, the U.S. House of Representatives passed its version of climate change legislation, which in shorthand has been referred to as Waxman-Markey after the bill sponsors. Following Otter Tail's departure from the project in September of 2009, the U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee on November 5, 2009, approved the Senate version of climate change legislation, referred to in shorthand as Kerry Boxer, after the bill sponsors. And finally, late in 2009, EPA in fact issued an endangerment finding that paves the way for regulation of greenhouse gases under the existing Clean Air Act, regardless of whether legislation is ultimately enacted by Congress and signed into law by the President. We know that the regulation of greenhouse gases would have increased cost of energy from the project, diminishing its advantages over other alternatives. But the regulatory uncertainty that follows Washington's inability to act makes financing extraordinarily difficult and far more costly. Investment is hindered by uncertainty. We also faced uncertainty about adequate and timely cost recovery for a significant capital project such as Big Stone 2. There is, of course, a significant regulatory lag between costs incurred in developing such a project and the authorized recovery of those costs through rates. There is also a possibility of stranded cost due to a potential denial of cost recovery after those costs have already been incurred. That issue is perhaps heightened by an uncertain subject like carbon regulation, and also by the prospect of cost overruns in such a significant capital project. As I had earlier alluded to, we saw a significant amount of permit appeal uncertainty and delay associated with a number of the major permits. Namely, the Title V air operating permit was issued by the South Dakota Board of Minerals and Environment in June of 2009. But in August of 2009, the Sierra Club and Clean Water Action had petitioned EPA to object to the permit. When Otter Tail withdrew from the project in September of 2009, we knew that EPA could either deny or grant the petition. But in any event, its final action was subject to judicial review. There was also uncertainty associated with the Western Area Power Administration's issuance of a favorable record of decision in the environmental impact statement related to interconnecting the Big Stone 2 generator into the Western Integrated System. That record of decision was issued on August 24, 2009. When Otter Tail withdrew in September, we knew, of course, that an administrative appeal or a federal court challenge of the Western record of decision was likely, perhaps even both, because there was significant environmentalist opposition in that realm. We faced uncertainty as well for a transmission certificate of need that was issued in March of 2009 by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. The five environmentalist intervener groups in that case had appealed the certificate of need to the Minnesota Court of Appeals in June of 2009. And of course, when Otter Tail withdrew in September, we knew that the decision could ultimately have been appealed to the Minnesota Supreme Court as well. Finally, there was some element of uncertainty in the Commission's own granting of an order issuing an advance determination of prudence to Otter Tail. That order, of course, was issued in August of 2008, but in September of 2008, the Dakota Resource Council had appealed the advance determination of prudence order to State District Court. Nearly 1 year later, the State District Court judge affirmed the decision of the Public Service Commission. Again, when Otter Tail withdrew from the project about a month later, we knew that it was likely that the Dakota Resource Council would appeal the district court's decision to the North Dakota Supreme Court. And in fact, in November, the Dakota Resource Council did exactly that. In sum, there was truly a perfect storm of uncertainty associated with Otter Tail's continued participation in Big Stone 2. Perhaps no uncertainty was greater than the uncertainty caused by the inability of Washington to establish clear direction on energy and climate policy. I think the following quotation is apt, the quotation from the president and CEO of the ISO New England, who said in March of 2010, the single greatest issue facing the operation, expansion, and regulation of the power system is the uncertainty about national energy policy. Otter Tail was faced with a potential capital expenditure of up to $550 million, nearly equivalent to Otter Tail's entire 2008 rate base. And at the time that we were forced to make that decision, we were simply not in a position to go forward, and we did not believe it was in the best interests of Otter Tail's customers and shareholders to do so. Nevertheless, we do believe that the policy objectives of the Advanced Determination of Prudence statute were achieved. The purpose of the statute was to facilitate development of utility infrastructure necessary to serve ratepayers and to relieve constraints to and cost of capital. The process was designed to be one of deliberation that serves the public interest. And we believe that the risks of the Advanced Determination of Prudence, including the possibility the project never becomes used and useful, are outweighed by the benefit of the potential investment to serve ratepayers. Ultimately, we think we will arrive at the best resource need to serve Otter Tail's ratepayers. As I mentioned, there was on April 23, 2010, a settlement agreement filed in this case. Under the settlement agreement, the parties agree Otter Tail's decision to discontinue participation in Big Stone 2 was prudent. Again, the settlement agreement was entered into by Otter Tail, the North Dakota Large Industrial Group, and the North Dakota Public Service Commission advocacy staff. Under the settlement agreement, over a three-year period, Otter Tail would recover from North Dakota ratepayers the jurisdictional share of Big Stone 2 generation costs, which approximate $4 million. the North Dakota share of Big Stone transmission costs, approximately $1 million, would be returned to CWIP and eligible for allowance for funds used during construction from September 2009 to be included in rate base if construction commences within 3 years of commission approval of the settlement agreement. We recognize, of course, that the settlement agreement requires commission approval. Under the settlement agreement, Otter Tail would forego recovery of carrying costs during the three-year recovery period, which yields a benefit to ratepayers of greater than $500,000.
Could I interrupt you for one moment?
Absolutely.
Would it be possible for the commission to get hard copies of this? I noticed that other folks at the table do. It might be helpful for us to take notes right on the slide.
Sure. I do, in fact, have copies with me if Your Honor and the commissioners would like copies now or later.
I'd find it helpful now just
yes,
so I could
let's
take
do
notes.
That, please.
And I believe I've provided copies to the parties themselves. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
Now on to the impact of the settlement agreement on typical residential customer with 750 kilowatt hours of monthly consumption. It would be an impact of 62 cents a month each month of the three-year recovery period. With respect to a large general services customer with 600 kilowatts of demand and 324,000 kilowatt hours of monthly usage, the impact would be $254.76 each month in the three-year recovery period. In summary, Otter Tail Power Company requests that the Commission issue an order approving the settlement agreement, finding Otter Tail's decision to discontinue participation in Big Stone 2 prudent, and authorizing recovery of Big Stone 2 development costs from North Dakota ratepayers pursuant to the terms of the settlement agreement. Otter Tail further requests that its deferred accounting petition be deemed moot upon approval of the settlement agreement. Thank you for your time and attention.
I know Annette's thinking the same thing I am.
No, I see you looking at me with a confused look on your face. The revision in the settlement was to correct the math based on the number of kilowatt hour usage that was in the settlement agreement. This number in the PowerPoint was for 324,000 kilowatt hours. The difference is the number of kilowatt hours. So the revised page 5 does have correct math.
I agree with that characterization. The parties had originally intended to have 324,000 kilowatts in the settlement agreement as a means of showing the impact of that type of customer. But there was an inadvertent error where two numbers were transposed, so we had corrected the number to reflect the impact for a 234,000.
All right, thank you. I didn't even have to ask the question, Your Honor.
Mr. Savico, will you make an opening statement at this time?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor, Commissioners. The large industrial group is a group of Otter Tail's largest ratepayers, including Cargill, Thurlton Ethanol, Cavendish Farms, Archer Daniels Midland, Primewood, Comdale, Goodrich Corporation, and Bobcat. We intervened in this proceeding as this issue had a potential of significantly affecting the large industrials' financial statement and competitiveness in the region and nationally and around the world. We support the settlement agreement. We had a number of issues going into this case, worked with both staff and Otter Tail, and are now supportive of the settlement agreement.
Mr. Broughton, will you make an opening statement at this time?
Yeah. Procedurally, I think Dakota Resource Council's position has been consistent. We do have an appeal to the Supreme Court, which is being stayed right now during the pendency of these proceedings. I'll be brief. We support the determination that discontinuation of the project is prudent, and we didn't sign on to the settlement agreement. We wanted to reserve judgment based on, you know, hearing evidence on what the costs are, how the determination as far as the timing of discontinuation of the project was made. But other than that, I think we'll have a few questions and just reiterate that we're in support of prudency determination to discontinue.
Ms. Bendish, will you make an opening statement at this time?
Staff signed on to the settlement. You will hear from Mike Diller, who has filed pre-filed testimony supporting staff's rationale for agreeing to the settlement. And if the commissioners have questions for him, he will be available.
Mr. Bring, you may proceed.
Your Honor, we would first call Mr. Thomas Brouse.
I was thinking that.
If you just have a seat, Mr. Brouse. Mr. Brouse, as you know, as you well know indeed, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Brouse, you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Mr. Brink.
Thank you, Your Honor. Please state your name and business address.
My name is Thomas R. Brouse. My business address is 215 South Cascade Street, Fergus Falls, Minnesota, 56537.
For the record, could you spell your last name, please?
B-R-A-U-S-E.
And by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed by Otter Tail Power Company as its vice president administration. My current duties include providing direction for the market planning group, policy and compliance, regulatory services, and the information technology areas.
And what is your educational background, Mr. Brouse?
I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in computer science with a minor in mathematics from Morehead State University.
What is your employment history?
Started with Otter Tail Power in 1978 as a programmer. I held several different positions in Information Services Department, becoming Director of Information Services in 1995. In 1999, I became Director of Human Resources and Information Technology and have been in my current role as Vice President Administration since 2004.
Your affidavit of January 19, 2010 was submitted along with Otter Tail's application for a determination that it was prudent to withdraw from the Big Stone 2 project, correct?
Yes.
Did you see the opening statement PowerPoint that I provided a moment ago?
Yes.
Is the opening statement an accurate summary of your January 19, 2010 affidavit filed
yes.
in the case?
Yes, it is.
Based on your familiarity with the circumstances under which Otter Tail withdrew from the Big Stone 2 project and the previously filed affidavit, are you able to affirm the assertions in the PowerPoint opening statement as Otter Tail's position and be cross-examined both on your affidavit and the PowerPoint?
Yes, I am.
Are you familiar with the settlement agreement that was filed on April 23, 2010 by and between Otter Tail, the North Dakota Large Industrial Group, and the North Dakota Commission's advocacy staff?
Yes, I am.
Could you describe that settlement agreement?
In general, upon the commission approving it, approximately $4 million would be recovered from the North Dakota ratepayers. Over a three-year period, other details, which were in the opening presentation, but Otter Tail would forgo recovery of the carrying costs during the recovery period, and that's estimated at $529,000. Approximately, the North Dakota share of the Big Stone 2 project was just over 40%, which was just over $5 million. This settlement agreement asks for recovery of about $4 million, which is the generation portion of the Big Stone 2 project. That recovery would, the method would be based on the actual kilowatt hours consumed for the non-large general service class, and then for the large general service class, it would be based on their actual kilowatt hours consumed and also the kilowatts of demand. And then another significant part, of course, is about $1 million that is the amount of the North Dakota share of the Big Stone transmission portion of the project. That those dollars would be returned to construction work in progress, and that recovery, including the AFUDC, would occur through the Big Stone 2 or through the Big Stone transmission project if it commences construction within 3 years of a commission order approving the settlement agreement.
And did you sign the settlement agreement on behalf of Otter Tail?
Yes, I did.
Could you please describe the impact to the typical residential customer and the large general services customer?
The impact to the average residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours a month would be 62 cents a month. For the large general service class, if a customer used 600 kW of demand and 324,000 kilowatt hours of energy, the impact would be about $255 a month, and both of these would occur over a 36-month period.
And what is Otter Tail asking of the commission?
We're asking the commission to issue an order that accepts the settlement agreement, would find that Otter Tail's discontinuation of participation in the Big Stone 2 project is prudent, and also authorizing the recovery of the Big Stone 2 development costs from the North Dakota customers pursuant to the terms of the settlement agreement. And then we would also ask that Otter Tail's petition for deferred filing or for deferred accounting would be deemed moot upon the order approving the settlement agreement.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Sabico?
Nothing, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Brett?
No questions, Your Honor.
Ms. Bendish?
I don't have any questions, but I wonder if Mr. Bring would like to offer the settlement agreement as an exhibit so we could have it on the record.
Your Honor, I did bring copies of the settlement agreement. I know that it has been filed previously with the commission, April 23rd of 2010, but we would offer it as an exhibit if Your Honor wishes.
So has the settlement agreement has been filed? The
settlement agreement has been filed. It is part of the commission's docket, as well as the revision to page 5 that I filed yesterday. I believe the commissioners and all parties should have copies.
And Your Honor, by way of clarification, the copies of the settlement agreement that I brought with me today include the substitute page 5, which was filed with the commission. I believe it was yesterday.
Correct.
Why don't we distribute those so that everybody has a, including me, has a corrected copy in case it's be referred to.
Very well, Your Honor. Do you wish to have it marked?
Yeah, I'm gonna. I'll just mark it for the record.
Judge, if I could, while we're doing a record, I think this brief should also be included in that. But there are some slides in there that wouldn't be covered in the verbal testimony.
All right. Let's.
Your Honor, when you have a moment, I do have an additional procedural issue.
For the record, I have marked the corrected copy of the settlement agreement together with the cover letters for the original settlement agreement dated April 23, 2010, and a cover letter for the corrected settlement agreement dated May 4, 2010, as exhibit OTP1. And I note for the record that the exhibit OTP1, the settlement agreement, which is exhibit OTP1, is the corrected copy, which is referred to in the cover letter dated May 4, 2010. Mr. Sabico?
No objection.
Mr. Broughton?
No objection.
Ms. Bendish?
No objection.
Exhibit OTP1 is received. Next, on the request of the commission, I have the so-called hard copy of the PowerPoint presentation, which for the record I have marked as OTP2. Mr. Brayton.
Yes, Your Honor, I would move that the PowerPoint opening statement be admitted as well.
Mr. Sabico.
No objection, Your Honor.
Mr. Broad.
No objection.
Ms. Bendish.
No objection, Your Honor.
OTP2 is received. Next, Mr. Bring.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Brouse filed an affidavit in January of 2010 along with the application for a determination that it was prudent to withdraw from the project. I believe it may be appropriate to have that entered as an exhibit in the hearing as well, in as much as he will be cross-examined potentially on that affidavit.
Do you have copies?
I do not believe I brought copies because it had been previously filed. I may have a single copy in my file.
Why don't you give me a single copy for the record, please?
Can I step down and grab my copies of that?
You may.
I believe I found it here, Your Honor.
The record I'm marking for identification the affidavit of Tom Brouse is OTP3. Mr. Sabico.
No
objection, Your Honor.
Mr. Brutt.
No objection.
Ms. Bendish.
No objection, Your Honor.
OTP3 is received. Mr. Bring.
Your Honor, I would tender the witness for cross-examination.
Mr. Sabico.
I have nothing, Your Honor.
Mr. Broughton.
No questions, Your Honor.
And Ms. Bendish.
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
No questions.
All right, Mr. Brouse, thank you.
You get to talk to him, Judge?
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of a hurry.
Well, that was a quick
Commissioner, any questions from the commission?
Close the door quick.
Commissioner Clark.
Thanks. Tom, in the PowerPoint on slide 8, it's an overview of the developments that warranted Otter Tail's withdrawal from the Big Stone 2 project. It seems as I look through that list, most of those points, with the exception perhaps of the extraordinary financial market conditions in the fall of last year and specific issues related to the inability to secure new participants. But all of the other points on that list seem to me to be things that could be said generically about any project in the utility world. Energy price fluctuations, the uncertainty related to what's going on with the federal government and greenhouse gases. Things that are just endemic to the regulatory environment, like uncertainty regarding cost recovery, permit delays, appeals, things like that. Given the fact that all of those things to me seem to be fairly generic, is there any scenario that you can think of where a utility commissioner who sits in our seats would ever want to vote for any ADP?
Well, my take on those is while they're always in existence, it would be the level of magnitude. I think we could all look back and, long-term energy market forecasts change, but they're much more consistent than what we saw, especially during that time frame. And I would definitely say the same on just the federal government's involvement and all the different things that were happening with the climate. It's just that heightened, and I would go back to just the magnitude of the issue. They always exist, but the magnitude was much greater.
Is the energy price fluctuations, is that driven primarily by the price of gas?
That's one piece of it, but I'm sure they also use just what the overall demand is, and with what the economy is doing, usage went down. Also, there is new wind generation going in, and especially in our area, that's having an impact. So while gas is a factor, it's certainly not the only factor.
Right. Although, I mean, your testimony does indicate that it does not appear to be related to recessionary aberrations, but rather a fundamental shift in the energy marketplace. And I'm wondering if that, if that's related mostly to gas prices with the horizontal gas plays and fracking that's gone on around the country that have really appeared to shift the cost curve for natural gas specifically, the shale formations.
In my mind, that's still not the driving factor.
Is there any way to quantify what the benefit to ratepayers would have been with regard to decreased cost of capital had the ADP, had Big Stone 2 eventually gone through, or you know, any ADP project generically? And the reason I ask that is, as regulators, we're often told, well, if you just approve this, the upside is so great and the amount of money that you'll save will be so great that it's worth the risk. Yet to this point, I haven't seen any sort of quantifiable data that would say, here's what your cost of capital would have been under the traditional rules of regulation. Here's what your cost of capital is because you have an ADP statute. Are you aware of any analysis like that?
Yeah, I have some information, and I'll put it out here kind of a subject to check, but from memory, how this works, one of the big impacts is what our bond rating would be. And, of course, having advanced determination of prudence on a project of this magnitude is going to give more regulatory certainty and has an impact in the bond rating. And if we can have, you know, one or two tick improvement in the bond rating during this period of time, my understanding is that could turn into, you know, at least 0.5% and maybe 1.5% difference in the interest we pay. So then you'd have to take that times how much, you know, we actually borrow versus the equity side, that type of thing. So I do think based on that, you could do more of an analysis. I don't have that, but I guess in summary, my response would be it could be in that at least 0.5% to up to 1.5% change in interest rate.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I've got.
Any further? Commissioner Clark. I'm sorry, Commissioner Kramer.
Following along with that then, Tom, while the sort of broad net that our externalities law casts didn't allow us to consider, or at least we determined that, and courts have since, to consider the uncertainty, if you will, or the speculation of possible federal or even state climate change legislation or greenhouse gas emission legislation, it was nonetheless an issue at the time for the partners. It was testified to by interveners. While we weren't able to consider it, did our ADP law allow the partners to dismiss it too easily?
I would say no. I think you know, there's kind of the quantitative qualitative part, and we never came up with a quantitative, you know, try to get down to a firm dollar, but you can see the indirect impact. If I go back to the financing cost, we can say that, you know, we won't consider that, but we really can't stop the banks and the financial community from considering that, and I do think it has an impact through that.
Well, then does did our advanced determination of prudence allow Otter Tail and perhaps others that we'll hear from later today, did it allow them to continue in the project longer than probably they would have otherwise or maybe should have even?
No, again, in my mind, I would say where that was a benefit to the project, that certainly wasn't what swayed it to stop or start. It was coming up on that September date where by contract we had to either get in or out. That was definitely drove the point home.
Sure, but clearly the ability to recover all of the costs in a project likely to fail, that a project that others in the project determined earlier than you that it was likely to not be successful, mitigated all of your risk, really.
Well, first I'd go back to, I think you're referencing GRE and SMMPA leaving.
Yes.
I don't think they left because they didn't think the project would go. I think mm-hmm. their needs changed, so I wouldn't attribute that to the ADP at all. But repeat the second part of your question.
If I can. Okay. It was probably more of a statement than a question anyway. I guess the question was, did it allow you to continue longer than you probably should have?
I wasn't directly involved in the decision making, but the things I heard about it, that's not a piece that came up. It wasn't that, we have, definitely no talk of, we have a blank check, let's go as long as we can. We were still trying to do the right thing with the information we had in front of us and trying to keep costs as good as we can for the customer.
Well, I'm just thinking about as we go forward with any potential flaws that have been revealed in the ADP legislation, another witness later who's pre-filed testimony refers to no skin in the game. And it's a little hard to look at this and not see that there's no skin in the game. And would that have caused you to continue for a few months? You've answered the question. But
I actually would like to respond to that, though. As far as the skin in the game, even if we have advanced determination of prudence, we still want to bring in the lowest cost project we can. If we had expenses in there that just didn't make sense because we thought it'd be covered under ADP, I mean, that's just wrong. And I don't think that's the intent of the ADP statute.
Since I do have one thing I do want to ask, in Mr. Bring's opening presentation and the PowerPoint, he referred to the scrubber on Big Stone 1 as necessary as part of this project. I'm just wanting to be reminded, was that, while it was part of the project, was it a, quote, necessary part of the project? Did you have to do that in order to build Big Stone 2? Do you remember?
Actually, I don't.
Okay. I was just curious about.
I mean, I think the scrubber was required for Big Stone 2. I don't remember if it was required at the time for Big Stone 1. We probably have somebody here who knows.
Okay. All right. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Any further questions from the commission? Commissioner Cook.
Just kind of, first off, thank you for your testimony. And kind of a follow-up, the three of us, we don't talk until we get into these meetings, but it's interesting that we're all three thinking the same thing about the law. Because to me, I think that there needs to be a major revision in the law that gives us more ability to do things up front and maybe in the backside, but that's for a separate discussion. But it will be interesting as we proceed forward to figure out what is the right mix for what Otter Tail is going to need to meet the demand. In the question about when you had all these companies, Great River Energy, Southern Minnesota, are all involved, and they just withdrew, is there a penalty for them to withdraw? They can just say, I withdraw?
Well, by contract, there was a penalty. I'm not familiar with the details or the amounts, but again, I assume Mark can handle that, Mr. Rolfes.
So that'll be the next witness that'll come up.
If you have those questions, we'll definitely.
Okay, I'll file that one away somewhere. And then the jumping around a little bit, but the January 19th, 2010 document that talked about, the 5 points, if you will, and the detailed PowerPoint discussion about all the decision factors that came to withdrawing out of Big Stone 2. Those included a lot about the federal uncertainty. The testimony talked about that, but yet the settlement agreement, unless I missed it, doesn't talk about that at all. Why was that left out of the settlement agreement when it was, I think, so important to the decision process that Otter Tail came to?
I don't know that I have a solid answer for that. I don't know that it was by design. I mean, we were focusing more on the terms, not what led up to it.
Well, there'll be, I guess, another, well, I'll hold that question too, because to me that's a key part of this. This was such a big part of this decision. It needs to be in the settlement agreement as to how we got to there. And then another question, kind of following what Commissioner Kramer talked about, and I read a lot of information, so it's hard to exactly pinpoint where I pulled this out from, but my understanding was that the combined emissions out of Big Stone 1 and 2 would have been less than the current emissions out of Big Stone 1, and that we lost a lot of renewables for this project on the back end. You know, the folks that wanted to stop this, the environmental groups, I mean, do you have an understanding of why they wanted to stop a project? At the end of the day, you would have created more renewable opportunity and also cleaned up your emissions?
I don't have a response to that. That would be more for them, I would think.
Okay. I just, well, you've dealt with these folks. I just thought maybe you might have some insight to that.
Not.
Okay. I think that would be it, Judge. Thank you.
Any further? Commissioner Clark?
Just a quick follow-up. Commissioner Culk had asked about withdrawal penalties for, I think, some of the earlier with utilities that withdrew. Did Otter Tail owe MDU a withdrawal penalty for withdrawing from the project?
Yeah, I'll leave that
okay.
for Mark.
Thanks. and then, and just a follow-up comment related to what my fellow commissioners had talked about. I too think that we need to really, and I would encourage the utilities, take a look at whether this ADP law serves its purpose and whether there needs to be a statutory revision to it. One of the slides that Otter Tail put forward said the policy objectives of ADP have been achieved. And I think there's probably a lot of consumers, customers of Otter Tail and MDU who are thinking, yeah, if the objective is to shift risk on our backs and away from utilities, then the objective has been achieved. It seems to me that it's revealed a flaw here, the fact that, that, and I understand the rationale for it, the ADP, but when you have a project that ultimately is not built, it does seem to me to be a change in circumstance that the legislature should at least consider taking a look at. And I know it's something that we'll all be thinking about over the next few months prior to the legislative session, and I would encourage the utilities to do so as well. I mean, there is a certain elegance to the traditional regulatory model, which perhaps more appropriately shares risk between ratepayers and shareholders. And I think in this case, we may be seeing a flaw in a new regulatory approach that's been repealed.
Any further questions from the commission? Follow up, Mr. Breen.
Just briefly, Commissioner Culk had asked about the settlement agreement, and I'm not sure that we're going to have a more appropriate witness to address the subject of why it did not include something about federal uncertainties. And Mr. Brouse, did it include any of the other reasons upon that were attendant upon Otter Tail's withdrawal?
Pigeon through here. On page 3, it talks about the items. So it does talk about the energy price, financial conditions. So I agree. I mean, it's not in here, and some of the others are, but I don't.
Sure.
I don't recall a discussion as to why we didn't put that in there.
It may have been an oversight.
Possibly.
All right. I have nothing further.
Follow up, Mr. Sevico.
I have nothing, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Brott.
Yeah, just one question, Mr. Brouse. You were discussing the regulatory uncertainty, and you stated that you had never quantified that and that in estimating costs you don't consider that, but the banks do. And I'm just curious, the decisions of the banks have a direct impact on your actual costs, don't they?
As far as what interest rate they would charge us, yes.
Okay, so if the banks are taking that into account, that is going to have a direct impact on your costs.
If they apply a higher interest rate because of it, yes.
Okay. And we were just discussing the factors in the settlement agreement on page 3. it was noted that the uncertainty of the regulation wasn't one of those factors. That was a factor equally important to at least some of these other factors that are listed, wasn't it?
State that again.
The factor regarding uncertainty of CO2 regulation, we've discussed how that is not listed in the settlement agreement. There are others listed there. That factor regarding uncertainty of regulation is equally important to at least some of these other factors that are listed, right?
I don't know if I would say equally, but a significant factor.
Okay. And nothing further, Your Honor.
Is Jeff Coatsacko?
Do you want to ask an after now?
I'm sorry. Ms. Bendish.
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeff Coatsacko.
Mr. Browse, where in the record can you point me to the factual documentation of the numbers we're talking about in the PowerPoint and the affidavit and the settlement, for that matter? I need to know these are in the record, and I'm not finding them as I ruffle through papers here.
If you look at page 6 of the settlement agreement, in that table, I think all the relevant numbers are specified in that table.
Right, but where's the supporting documentation for those numbers? In this file, or perhaps in the deferred accounting file, I'm not sure, but then it needs to be made part of the record in this case.
Look to Bernadine here. You follow?
I'm just looking for the proof of the numbers. I had a specific question about the transmission costs, and yeah. Looking for that, I had a more general question.
Your Honor, I believe some of those are summarized in the revised Attachment A, perhaps not with the level of detail that Ms. Jeff Coatsacko requests, but we could certainly file something subsequently if it.
So the response is Attachment A of the settlement agreement?
Which does, again, to me, look like a summary compiled from some other document, or two or three, correct?
Yes, this certainly isn't all the detail.
And normally in a rate case, all that detail is originally filed in the pre-filed testimony, and so when we get 100 miles down the road to the settlement, it really is there if you had to go back and get it for an appeal, for example.
Yeah.
So I think we're a little weak on this in this case. And I'm not sure if perhaps it's in data requests or something, but I think we need to bring it in. And then at that point, I have some questions about the transmission costs, but not until I see where they're coming from.
Okay.
All right, so what's the status, is Jeff Coatsacko? Mr. Bring, so what do we have? Do we have
a request for underlying documentation for the numbers to be put in the record.
Well, what we have is an allegation, if I may use a word, of a failure of proof.
Your Honor, if I could interject, one of the things that I talked with before the meeting is that as we go through this detailed settlement agreement, and I would want to be looking at the numbers they said that all the way back down is to show me the detail that those are, in fact, good, valid numbers, and nowhere in any things that we could find that showed me that 1 and 1 equals 2. They just gave me the number 2. And so this is certainly not the end of the case today. So I'm personally looking for some more detail to go through. Even though all these folks settle on it, that doesn't mean that we're certainly going to agree on it.
All right. So
Your Honor, for Outer Tail's part, we're certainly willing to file additional details regarding the specific costs incurred in developing the project.
But my question is, for the record, what are we filing? What is the commission requesting?
I cannot ask for the specific name of the document because I don't know what record at Outer Tail records support the numbers in the settlement. I don't know what Otter Tail will produce for me from their accounting department. Mike just showed me a summary, but I, as I said, I'm, and that is probably useful, and Mike may be able to answer this question when he takes the stand, but it would be helpful to know where that came from. So Otter Tail should be identifying what they're going to submit. I can't ask for it any more specifically because I don't know what those documents are. I just want supporting documents for the overall general totals in the settlement.
Such as though for those which are summarized in attachment
yes.
A to the settlement agreement.
Yes. And they may be sitting here in a data request response in this office, but I need some help pointing to them so we can put them in the record.
Well, for the record, Mr. Bring, let's make a note of a request for a late filed exhibit, which will be Exhibit 4, which will be, for want of a more specific description, documentation supporting the costs of Otter Tail Power Company's participation in the Big Stone 2 project. Is that overly broad, or is that well, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
That's as much as I could. That sounds reasonable to me. I do not know if it's overly broad. I apologize.
All right,
Honor,
Mr.
Perhaps.
Bring.
You're
do you understand what I'm? Is that a fair description of the information that you would anticipate filing in response to Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco's request?
Yes, Your Honor. I think it's both a fair request and a fair description.
All right.
And we'd be happy to do that. And in fact, I believe that Mr. Rolfes might be able to help us understand exactly how those costs are.
All right. That will be
tracked.
Exhibit 4, a late filed exhibit. Anything further, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Follow up by the commission. Any further questions from the commissioners?
I did actually have one that I thought of.
Sure.
In the PowerPoint
Commissioner Calk.
In the PowerPoint presentation, energy forecast for 2012 to 2024 are 33% to 36% lower. Where did that data come from? Is that a regional number? Is that a national number? Is that an Otter Tail number? On slide 9.
Well, some of it is we purchase our long-term forecasts, so those Ventix is a vendor, as is Woodmac. So we purchase those from these vendors and use them in our for planning purposes.
Those would be a national number, I would?
Beyond that,
okay.
We have Brian Draxton.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions from the commission?
Just
Commissioner Clark.
Just a follow-up to something I should have said before, as long as we were talking about statutes that I would encourage folks to really consider. The externality statute as well is, I think, one that we need to bring before the legislature again. I mean, I probably, to my chagrin now, probably voted for that statute when it was first implemented in the 90s. And I understand the rationale, which was to get at the Minnesota externality issue, which is something we should exclude from North Dakota rates. And so from that standpoint, I think it was good. But it was clearly, flawed in the way that it was written, the language of it, because it does really tie the hands of both utilities and the commission from even considering what might be going on in a real-world sense in Washington, D.C. or elsewhere. And I think that it, especially if you're going to have an ADP statute, which you're asking the commission to project forward and think about what may be happening on a going-forward basis, to then say that you can't consider certain things in getting to that decision, I think, is setting up a flawed statute. I think we interpreted it correctly. I think it's, and I think the judge interpreted it correctly. I just think that it especially if we're going to have an ADP statute, is probably quite poorly written and needs to be addressed. Thanks.
Anything further from the commission? All right, quickly, follow up, Mr. Bring.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Savickal.
Nothing, Your Honor. Thank you.
And Mr. Brutt.
I have no questions, but I had been operating on the assumption that we were going to see some of the evidence that Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco was asking for, and if we're going to have what might potentially be a voluminous late-filed exhibit, I would make a motion that we be allowed some post-hearing briefing regarding that exhibit and the issues raised.
I suggest you renew your motion when you see what you've got, or are you certain that you're going to...
No, I'm fine with that procedure.
Why don't you see what you have and make your motion if it seems necessary. Ms. Bendish?
Nothing, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat Sacco?
Nothing, Your Honor.
All right, take a brief recess. Is there anyone for about until 10 o'clock, please? Before we do, is there anyone here other than persons who will testify on behalf of Otter Tail, the large industrial group, or Dakota Resource Council, who would offer any comment or any evidence as part of these proceedings? Well, if there is, if there is anyone, or if anyone comes in later to comes to the attention of anyone, I'd be glad to accommodate them, of course, and I would be pleased to assist them with their testimony or their comment. And we'll recess again at the closing of the completion of the presentation of the parties, and that's when we would hear any public comment or testimony. All right, we'll be in recess until 10 o'clock.
Thank you.